Daniel chapter 6, as we continue to study the life of Daniel. We pick up here Daniel chapter 6. We've been here several weeks now. I've looked at this part of Daniel chapter 6 from several perspectives. We've talked about how to handle accusations. We talked last week on how to avoid being manipulated and just working on how King Darius was manipulated by the counselors, the presidents, and those princes to sign this decree that anybody that would worship God outside of him for 30 days would be thrown into the den of lions. And we've seen how God has used that circumstances to bring Daniel to this place. And when Daniel heard of that, he went to his house and prayed to heaven. He said, he's just going to do what I've always done. And God continued to use him in spite of that. All right, Daniel chapter 6. So we've looked here again last week at how the leaders endeavored to trap Daniel. They couldn't find anything wrong with his personality. They manipulated King Darius to sign the decree. And this week I want to turn our attention back to Daniel here and look at how he responds to the trial and find some ways for us to be able to glean from that, and how do we stay faithful in the trials of this life. And we're going to see some things from Daniel that will help us with this thing in our life. Look here at Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chambers towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So upon hearing the decree, knowing the consequences of what would happen to him if he continued to pray, the end of verse 10 tells us that Daniel responded by doing what he did aforetime. The word aforetime there means after the manner of a time before. He simply does what he's always done despite the consequences that he is certain to receive. And so let's pray real quick, have a quick time of meditation, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to gather. We ask now as we look into your word that you would help us to glean from it the truths that will be helpful to us, the things that we can take from it to be able to meditate on it through the week, that it might truly help us to not be just hearers of words, but to put these things into practice into our lives, to apply them in places that we're struggling, to help us in areas where we're doing well, and encourage us where we need encouragement. Bless now this time we have together. We'll give you the praise for it. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. So Daniel had a habit of praying to God three times a day. And this habit was obviously well known as the leaders chose this to find accusation against Daniel. Look back at verse 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." It is very likely that they knew that Daniel was only going to serve God and none others. And so we can conclude that this thought, again, based on the fact that they were using this idea of him praying as what they hinged the decree upon. And as a believer, we must not forget the ingenuity and the calculated measures that lost people will have to try to oppose Christ. Look at the verse up here in John chapter 15, verse 18. John chapter 15, verse 18. John chapter 15, verse 18. Then said these men, we shall not find, John 15, 18. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So listen, the world can take their animosity towards God and direct it towards you and can direct it towards those other believers. So we must understand that it's nothing personal against us. That people don't hate you, they hate God. And they want to rebel against God. And so remembering this will help us to love those that oppose us, even when our flesh tells us that we should not do that and tries to reject those thoughts. So again, we may know that Daniel did as he always did, as he did aforetime, back in verse 10. But it's interesting, though, look at it again in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. So we see here that Daniel didn't go into private and pray. Daniel did something that people knew that he was praying. Matter of fact, you can almost infer that when the people saw that Daniel's windows were open, they might have thought he was praying. It gives semblance to this, that maybe there was something like this was going on. But listen, Daniel was a smart person. He'd lived a few years up to this point. He's probably in his later 70s and maybe in the early 80s. So he's lived a few years, and he probably realized that this scheme was going on upon hearing the decree. It probably didn't take him long to put the pieces together and realize what was happening. And so if this is so, if he recognized all this, when it says having his windows open speaks volumes of his heart resigned to whatever it is that God had for him in this situation. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. It seems to me that Daniel, probably knowing what was being conspired, continued on in his life as he was, as if it was normal. Just any other normal day. He just seems to be going on like no big deal. And that's an important thing for us to realize as we think about this thought and looking at Daniel's life on staying faithful in the trials. It's important for us when we're going through trials to try to stay as much as we can in our daily routine and the normalcy of life. It's so easy for us, for the problems of this life to dominate us to the point to where it distracts us from the things that we're supposed to be doing. And when we see this attitude in Jesus Christ as well, look as he goes getting ready to go to the cross, look at his attitude, verse Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. We must remember that Christ, from the foundation of the world, knew that this day was coming. And in his prayers, we see the humility of Christ, which helps us to know how he felt when this trial was coming into his life. And in his prayers, he leaves us a great example of trusting God's plan for one's life. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 11. Jesus, when faced with a great trial that was before him, went to a time of prayer. And that's important for us to remember because of what we're going to see here in just a few minutes. But listen, I cannot help believe that where Daniel is at this time and what's going through his mind, when you think about the decree and the severity of the consequences that he's going to face, no doubt the fear or the thoughts and emotions are running through him. Sometimes we take a view at these people that are recorded in the scriptures, and we look at them with just a little bit of a more heightened opinion of them, like they're some great people. We must remember they're just like you and I are. They were touched with the same thoughts and feelings. Faced with this great trial of going to the den of lions, you know that maybe fear was in Daniel's mind. Maybe anger. He had that feeling of, this is unfair that they've done this to me. But look now at verse 11 and remember the consequences that he faced by simply praying to God. Verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So listen, this was no public shaming or public ridicule. This was not losing a place or a position in the kingdom. This was being thrown into the den of lions, which would mean certain death. And as we talked about last week, the king does everything he could possibly think of to deliver Daniel from the lion's den. But the decree was ironclad and could not be changed. That we talked about that last week about the law of the Medes and Persians. But look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, who thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. With Daniel now in the lion's den, the king is required to seal it with his own ring or his own signet to further remind the king of how he was manipulated. The other leaders had to place their ring as well. And you figure that with all the trouble that they've gone through to demise, to bring them out the demise of Daniel, that they're surely not going to miss this show. They're there. I'm sure they're waiting with bated breath the opportunity to hear the lions just get ravaging Daniel to death. But what's interesting here is what the king says. Look again at verse 16. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now this is quite a testimony of Daniel's life coming from the mouth of the king. Daniel was faithful to God. And this king believed that Daniel's God was going to deliver him. But notice what he adds here again, the favorableness, how he looks favorably upon Daniel's walk, whom thou servest continually. Look up here, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Listen, we've got to be careful when we come to that place. And when you try to teach people about having communication and having proper communication, one of the things you teach people is if you're going to develop communication within somebody, ask the person that you're speaking to about themselves. All of us love to talk about ourselves. Most of the time, it doesn't take much for us to get going about how good and wonderful and great we are. And so in the art of communication, you get that. But God says, listen, don't praise yourselves. Let another person praise you. Let another person lift you up and glorify something that God is doing in your life. And because, matter of fact, in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, to him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if you're going to glory in something, no glory in you, glory in the Lord. And so here we see the king praising Daniel's walk with him, with God, saying, whom thou servest continually, who you're continually serving. In other words, he's saying, Daniel, out of all the time that I've known you, you've always faithfully served God. And that's a great testimony. Most people in our lives continue to, again, bring to that place to where they want to talk about themselves. We should simply serve God and let the praise come from others. And this is exactly what's happened in Daniel's life. We don't find any other verse showing Daniel protesting this action. We don't see Daniel saying this is unfair. We don't find any verses of him showing that he's saying I'm being treated unfairly. He just simply trusts God to do what he deems best in his life. And the king's anguish over what had happened was not over. Jump down to verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. We see that the king went back to his palace and removed all the earthly pleasures that was due to him and removed all of them from him because he was so concerned about Daniel and his situation. Look at verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the lions and to the den of lions. So as soon as it was possible, he rose up and went to the lion's den to see what happened. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? The king again refers to Daniel as a servant of the living God, and again makes comment about his faithful service to God. But again, the fact that he says living God is impactful. This is a pagan king. And he calls Daniel's God the living God. Whether he realizes it or not, he is proclaiming God to be Jehovah God. But we see in the wording here the anguish. He says, God says it's a lamentable voice. He's lamenting. He's anguishing over this situation and hoping that God, Daniel's God, was able to protect him. Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now, as we take time in Sunday school to learn how to study the word of God, this is important here. Because if you're studying this passage, this should sound familiar. Go back up to verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. Daniel in verse 21 says, King, O king, live forever. Make no mistake about it, that's not on accident. That's on purpose. We see here that Daniel testifies how God is protecting him and saying, listen, O king, it's the similar words that God, that the men used to manipulate the king. And Daniel repeats those words unto him, making him realize that, listen, yes, you may have been manipulated, but don't worry, because God took care of it. Look at verse 23 or 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel testifies how God protected him through the night. And then furthermore, he goes on and he declares his innocence in the matter concerning the decree as accused by the other leaders. He says, I'm innocent of that as well. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So the king's anguish is now subsided and joy enters into his heart. He is glad that Jehovah God delivered Daniel from this plot against him. So Daniel, he says here, was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. We see the reason for Daniel's deliverance recorded in the final part of this verse. It was Daniel's faith in God that brought him safely through the den of lions because he believed in his God. Daniel's strong belief in God has brought about a greater opportunity for God to be glorified in the life of Daniel. No doubt the wording here will spread quickly how Daniel was delivered from the lion's den. It was going to move fast on how Daniel went into the lion's den one night and came out perfectly fine. No harm was found in him. So God had delivered Daniel. And from little children, most of us have heard this story. But how does it apply to our lives? How do we take this story of Daniel and apply it to us? Let's take a look at that. But listen, even after the decree was signed, we find Daniel seemingly unbothered by the situation. Remember when we started this message this morning, we talked about how Daniel, when he heard the decree, just went into his room like he did before, opened up his windows and started praying. Like no big deal. From the evidence we have, he seemed to be completely calm about the whole incident. Again, no ill words towards this conspirators, no ill words towards God, no shouts of how unfair he's being treated. Daniel simply takes it all in stride with a heavy dose of belief in God. And when looking at Daniel throughout this part of the message, we've seen a man who has seemingly unshakable faith. He is showing himself to be utterly faithful during this trial with good reason. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. Go look over at Daniel chapter 1. And look at verse 3. If we're going to apply this to our lives, we need to take a look back at the actions that has led Daniel to stay faithful through this trial of entering into the lion's den. And we must remember that Daniel's life has been one that has been tested by the unknown. Daniel's life has not been an easy one. It's easy once you get into this story to forget where Daniel came from. But as we look back, look at where we see the account of his life start here in Daniel chapter 1, look at verse 3. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring a certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. His life early on dealt with uncertainty that required a trust in God's plan and protection. Daniel, being taken from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon, had to trust God. You had to know that on that way, there was no sign that this would be easy. There was no sign that said that Daniel was going to survive when he got there. There was no sign that said, listen, you're going into captivity, but everything is okay. All that he'd known was he's going somewhere that he didn't know where. He had no idea what Babylon was. It wasn't like in today where we see pictures and can go places that we, you know, just quickly in hours, we're on the other side of our country. Can't do that. That's not happening here. Daniel goes into this from the very early part of his life. Look down at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Despite the uncertainty in Daniel's life, Daniel found the grace of God working in his life by him finding favor over those that were authority over him. So here we see Daniel having to trust God as he's being taken from his homeland of Jerusalem, moving all the way to Babylon. No doubt that he's heard about Babylon and the paganness of it and all the wickedness that goes on in Babylon. But now he's on his way. He doesn't know if he's going to be cruelly treated. He doesn't know how. But now he sees he's there. And now God, he finds himself in the tender care of those that were authority on him. He sees God's grace moving. God's blessing. Look back at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Not only, but in this time of uncertainty, Daniel shows himself, even in his early teens, that he was determining to be faithful to God, to not allow the things of the world to alter him. Go over to Daniel chapter 2, in verse 8. Daniel chapter 2, verse 8. With the threat of his life coming in the form of the lion's den, it was not actually something new to Daniel. The king had dreamed a dream and couldn't remember what the dream exactly was. And because of this, he asked the wise men of the time to not only interpret the dream, but hey, I don't even remember what the dream was, so tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation of it. Now, we understand that. I mean, most of us have had a dream and we wake up and, man, it was, you know, we were really into the dream. And then we wake up and we're like, what was I dreaming? I was really into it in the dream, but I can't remember now what it was. And that's where he is. Look at verse 8 here, chapter 2. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that he would gain the time because he thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Because remember, Daniel was one of these wise men, so he's a part of this group that's going to be slain. So this is similar to the whole situation with the lion's den. His life is in jeopardy. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made known the thing to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king in the interpretation. So we see in this passage, again, as a wise man of Babylon, Daniel's life is in jeopardy. And instead of falling apart and trying to find a way out, look what Daniel does in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel, when presented with this trial in his life, he goes to his companions and he says, hey, let's pray to God. Let's pray to God that he would give us the wisdom to be able to show this to the king and not only save our hides, but save the hides of all the other wise men as well. And it's important to note that Daniel went to prayer before any other remedy. He didn't try to figure it out himself. He didn't try to do some way to figure out how to work around this situation. He simply went to prayer. And listen, in our lives, when trials are coming into our lives, it is important for us that prayer is the first place that we go to. It's so easy to pick up the phone and call a friend and say, hey, I'm going through this problem. You know, can you help me with it? It's so easy to do that. But make no mistake about it, no matter who you pick up, and I used to say dial, now it's just tap. No matter who you pick up your phone and tap to call, they do not have all the answers. They might be able to help you, but they don't have all the answers. But if you pray to God, he's the one that has all the answers. And these situations have a way of building faith in a follower of God. When these trials come and you go to God and you pray and ask God to intervene in your situation, it has a way of building that faith inside of you. When you see God come through in difficult times, it builds your faith and trust in him that he will come through again. How many times in your life have you come to something and you've been, hey, he brought me through it before, he can do it again. And in Daniel chapter 3, Daniel watched God deliver his companions from the fiery furnace. That builds a little more faith in his life. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now listen, make no mistake about it. We only see a few occasions of God's wisdom and intervention on display here in the scriptures in Daniel's life. No doubt Daniel saw this over and over and over again. You would think, again, when you think about Daniel's life and the types of interventions that God has done, that he has seen multiple ways of God working and moving and intervening in his life. And so it is for you and I. We must understand that these trials, the little trials in our life, the little struggles that we have, are put there on a for a purpose, that they build your faith and trust. Because when God gives you these trials here and they build a little faith and build a little faith and build a little faith, that way when you get to this, what we quote unquote, the big trials of life, you have a storage of faith built up. Think about it as a bank account. He built it, adding faith to the funds, adding faith to the funds, adding faith to the funds. And then when you come to that and you go and you need to take out a heavy dose of faith, there's plenty there for you. And you see that in Daniel's life. But in our lives, if we're going to live a life of faith, faithfully serving God as Daniel did as a believer in Christ, we must be people of prayer. When times of doubt or fear come, it will be prayer that will see you through those troubling times. But don't miss the fact again that he said that Daniel prayed as he did aforetime before he went to the lion's den. He was faithful in his prayer, and prayer drove him to that place. And as believers, Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. When they're praying, even in the midst of troubles and trials, give thanks to God for what he's doing. But look at the encouragement that Paul gives here to the Philippian believers in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In difficult and hard times, we are to pray to God with a thankful heart despite the troublesome times that are about us. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God promises the peace of God to be in your life when you bring your burdens that you're facing to him. So many times you want to pull one verse out of the scriptures and hold on to it, missing the requirement that was there to see that happen. The peace of God is just not going to show up in your life. He says, listen, by prayer and supplication, when you go to God and you pray to God for help for the trials that's in your life, he says, then he will send the peace of God which passes all understanding. But look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Notice the progression here that God gives to us when we have come to times of trouble. When times of trouble spring up in our lives, we go to God in prayer. He sends the peace of God to give us that calming effect in the midst of the storm of our life. And then he says, when you do that, think on these things. Don't focus on the trial of your life. Focus on the things that are true, the things that are just, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report. In other words, think on me. Think on me, Christ says, and remember me, and remember that I will bring you through this. I have promised you that you'll faithfully reach the other side. Go to prayer and get that from me. Go back to Daniel chapter 6 now. Look at verse 16 again. God says, I want to direct your thinking away from the troubles and onto the wonderful leading in your life that I am doing. And it was Daniel's faith in God that helped him to be faithful to God despite what it was going to cost him. Remember, praying with the open door, Daniel obeyed God no matter the circumstances. His faith afforded him the fortitude to obey God despite the seemingly deadly consequences that it was going to come to him. And his faithful service during this trial was not something he faced alone. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Look at the dose of encouragement he gets from the pagan king of all people. The encouragement and rooting on of another person will help you to stay faithful in the trials. Daniel goes to prayer, and God sends comfort to him through this pagan king. Look at the verse here in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. Your friends will sharpen you and help you to walk with him. And the encouragement of this pagan king gave Daniel, I mean, think about it. Put yourself in Daniel's situation. Here you have a pagan king saying, hey, Daniel, don't worry. Your God is going, who you serve all the time, he will deliver you. It's kind of hard to turn back on God when you have that. And it's important as a believer to encourage other believers as much as possible. It just might be that when you contact somebody and you encourage somebody, it just may be the right thing at the right time in their life. So it's important to remember that, to encourage one another. Notice here again in verse 16 how the king speaks of Daniel's faithfulness throughout his life. No doubt this is a reminder to Daniel of the need to stay faithful in this trial despite what's before him. With an encouragement like that, it would be hard for Daniel to think about quitting. It'd be hard for Daniel to think about giving up. Because not only did this pagan king say that your God will deliver you, but he said, whom thou servest continually. He's reminded of Daniel, you've never quit. Don't quit now. Keep going, Daniel. Keep trusting God and believing in God. He will faithfully deliver you. He will faithfully bring you through this. And listen, encouragement during the trial will help you to stand. Sometimes that encouragement is going to come from other people. Sometimes that encouragement is going to come from the very word of God itself. Sometimes when you're in a trial, it's important for you to find other passages of scripture where God brought through other saints of God as well. And remind yourself of that. Hey, when you fall short, when you trip up in this life, if you will, if you fall short of the commands that God has given to you, and you're down and you're feeling discouragement, remember Peter. Remember Peter. Peter, who denied the Lord three times, who utterly failed God, who gets to the point in John chapter 21 where he says, I go a fishing. He goes all the way back to where he started from. And Jesus shows up on the scene. Here's a defeated man, a man who feels like he's failed everything that God could ever possibly want. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, lovest thou me?
A second time he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, love me more than these fishes that are here, Peter? He failed him three times. God asked him three times. And just a short time later, here's Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, what most people consider one of the greatest messages ever preached on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ himself. This man is an utter failure. And despite the trial, God encouraged him and worked in him. And then he was able to stand and do those things. Listen, in the scriptures, we see many, many examples of individuals helping each other. Moses encouraged Joshua to be strong and of good courage in Deuteronomy 31. Joshua encouraged the children of Israel to make the choice to be serve God and not man and themselves in Joshua 24. David encouraged Samson to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind in 1 Chronicles 28. Paul encouraged numerous believers through his letters to walk with God and serve God with all of their heart, mind, body, and soul. Look up here at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and look at the last part, stopped the mouth of lions. God said that the faithfulness of man brought about these things, and he references Daniel here. So even God recognized Daniel's faithfulness, and Daniel's faith was what helped him stand. It was his belief in God that allowed him to be gone through this trial. He was able to stand because he got on his knees. He continued to pray to God and received God's grace through the trial. Look at verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Because of his faithfulness through the trial, Daniel's able to praise God for his deliverance. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Sometimes we have to realize that God is going to deliver you from the trial. There are some things that's going to come to your life that's going to be coming at you, and God is going to divert you. Kind of like when you're flying and there's weather ahead and they divert. The plane goes around the storm. But sometimes we have to realize in our lives that God is not going to deliver us from the trial. Sometimes he's going to deliver us through the trial. He's going to bring us through. And one of the great things about that, when we go through these trials, we have that verse to be with us that, hey, no matter what trial we're in, no matter how deep and dark and desperate it seems, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will walk through it with us. And we can trust him and believe in him to do that. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he had received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he had that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We see here that we, in times of trouble and tribulations of this life, we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom and strength from the scriptures. We need faithful friends to encourage us along the way. All God is asking of you and I is to be faithful. You don't have to be a theological scholar to do that. You don't have to have years and years and years of aged wisdom and understanding in your life to be faithful. Faithful is something that's available to every person that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. But make no mistake about it, the strength to stand in public is often built in the private communion with God.
Your ability to stand in times of trouble is built in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I often will share this with people that are dealing with hard times. I said, listen, this is why it's so important that we build faith as we go along. Because when you come to the trial, think of it's like falling down, like you're let's say you're skiing, right? And you're going down this big long hill. And if you're good as wonderful a skier as I am, within the first 20 feet, you fall. And then you just tumble down the rest of the way. When you go into a trial, you're going into it with the faith that you have at that moment. You don't get to build faith as you go down. Matter of fact, if we all understand it because we've been through trials, our faith wanes as we go into the trial. It doesn't increase when we go into the trial, which makes where our faith is so vitally important in our lives. And here, he looks at this man and says, listen, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. He says, listen, it's the little things that matter. Faithfulness is measured when obedience becomes costly. When it costs us something. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll close with this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Daniel went to prayer for deliverance from the trial that he knew was coming into his life. And it obviously brought a peace that God told us about through Paul. But then God sent along another to come and encourage him. Right as he was going into that den of lions, that pagan king gave that, hey, whom thou servest continually will deliver thee. It's kind of hard to turn back. When you have a friend or somebody you know that's going through a great trial, remind them of the wonderfulness of God and the mercy of God and the blessings of God, because it just might be the thing that sustains them through it. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When we see someone who has or is being faithful in a trial, we must understand that it's not so much about the strength of the faith they have at that moment. It's more about how much they're going to depend upon God to bring them through that trial. Because listen, when we go into a trial, if this is our amount of faith that we have, right? By the time we actually enter into that trial, we're like right here. And as soon as we get into that trial, we push past our faith because God wants to grow our faith. So then this happens. Our faith grows through the trial. And then next thing you know, when you come through that trial, your faith has come out to here. Because God knows in your life, another thing is coming. Like on a train track, it's moving closer and closer. And then you're going to get to a trial in your life and your faith is going to be here. And here's where the trial is. And it's going to push past that faith so that he can grow your faith again. That's why when people say, God will never give you more than you can handle, that's a lie. God has to give you more than you can handle. That's how he builds your faith. He won't build your faith if you won't trust him. And I've always said, when I first kind of parsed that out in my own mind, I'm like, but if I never get something I never handle, I'll never need him because I take care of all the things I can handle. I don't go to God right away. I'm a little slow sometimes in that area. But listen, God says, listen, I'm going to build you through the trials of your life. You need to be faithful before the trial comes. You need to build your faith up as you go into that. You need to develop a consistent prayer life, a life that comes from that. So that when you go to pray, it's not a strange voice to him. But trust God. Daniel's deliverance was not simply the result of one courageous decision. It was a lifetime of it. And it was visible in his life. So much so that even the king noticed it. No doubt, you have to believe that his companions were praying for him during that trial. Praying for him that night. The integrity of his heart was at work. His disciplined prayer life, his unwavering obedience, and his trust in God allowed him to stand. Remember, it said again that Daniel was delivered because he believed in his God. Faithfulness is developed before it's tested. Prayer is the believer's strength in that time of pressure. And God will show himself to be strong in your life. So if we're going to stay faithful in the trials of this life, we need to go to God in prayer. We need to allow others to encourage us. Listen, you need to take encouragement from people when they're trying to be an encouragement, but in reality, they're not being an encouragement. There's a lot of people that will come to you in a time of trial and say something to you, meaning it to be encouragement for you, and you'll look at them and think, I can't believe you even said that. I'm like, but take it as the encouragement it's supposed to be. Look at whatever they said that they said, and maybe they didn't say it exactly the way they should, because a lot of times people don't know what to say. And I'll help you. If you know somebody that's going through a great trial in their life and you don't know what to say, say this: I'm praying for you. And then pray for them. Because you don't have the adequate words for it. Because you don't know. Because we're all different. We're all going to see things different. We're all going to help people different. You'll go through a great trial in your life and people say, hey, why don't you help call so-and-so and help so-and-so? It's like, I'm not going to call so-and-so. They need to call me. Because they may not want to hear what I have to say. What I say might not help them. But we can trust God by going to God in prayer and trusting God, encouraging him. We need to be encouragement to others. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Loving one another in trials is encouraging one another in trials. We are called and expected to be faithful in the trials. To stay faithful in the trials, we got to go to God in prayer. We got to trust God. We got to believe God. That if he loved us enough to die for us, he loves us enough to bring us through the trials that we're going through in this life. That his will would be done in our life. That's where we need to set ourselves towards. Thy will be done in my life, and I'll trust you no matter what comes up in my life. And to do that, I'm going to go to prayer. And I'm going to get the encouragement that the peace of God would come into my heart and know that no matter what happens, no matter how it resolves, it's what's best for me. Daniel believed that. The question for you and I this morning is, do we? Let's pray.